Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to a long-delayed 20th installment of 1870 Bible Study. It's been a while. We left off with the, I believe we were doing the Christmas stories. So that would be quite a few months ago we left off on that. And, well, here we are, back now again. We're off top of Christmas. Now, I guess if you're listening to this in hindsight later on down the road, this is a couple months after the last broadcast, although I don't remember when it was. I believe it to be probably in January, maybe February. It was cold, I remember that. So here we are now in July. Matter of fact, the last day of July, come to think about it. Today is a blue moon, where we have, I guess, four full moons in one season. Or two full moons in 1 month, depending on who you ask and what a blue moon means, but that's what's going on today. But really what I'm here for, change of topic, I guess I'll get back more Christmas stuff when it's appropriate. Picking up from the Christmas story, if you pick up from there, I went back to the story of in the first chapter of Luke, and if you wanted to, I like to reference seasons. To me, it's just memorable. You remember things, you know, you remember all five senses, obviously. So if you picture the month of June, that's approximately whenever I dated the birth of John the Baptist. The conception of John the Baptist, excuse me, where we go back to the courses of Abiah and you figure out where the priesthood duties were. But that's another subject for the previous shows I've been talking about. It's like reference it that it's July, this is Georgia, and, well, it's hot. So, I don't know how it is everywhere else, but it's hot here. So, I always think of heat. It always... Since I've learned of this, studied this out, it makes me think of it. But on to the next subject. This is something that has actually been on my heart for a couple weeks now. I actually have been planning a comeback, but getting ready to get back in here. I was waiting on some things to work out for me, which are not going to work out anyway. Either way, what we're going to do here today is, give you the story of where I was at before I got my mind distracted here. This show is me coming back on and not what I intended on coming back on. I have something I'm wanting to come back with. It's something different from this. It's more or less, ways to live. You know, I've talked a lot about prophecy. I've talked a lot about riddles, and that stuff's all fun. That stuff's all fine and good, but how many people have actually brought to salvation in Jesus Christ? I'm talking about those things. Probably a few. You know, I'm sure there's been a few, but time to do a little bit more. You know, I need to talk about something a little more meat, things that are more relevant to today. And that's really what I want to get to. And that's what my other shows I want to do are about. This show right here is off topic. This is something different been on my heart. And it hit me yesterday while I was out cutting my grass that I should talk about this. And literally, I was, you know, when you cut grass, what else are you going to do besides listen to a lawnmower just blare at you? So I was thinking about things and, you know, putting all things together in my head. And I was remembering back to a news story that actually is a couple weeks old now. But it's been on my heart ever since it came out, because this is one of the things I believe very early on in my walk with Christ, before I came out, before I started the 1870 Bible study. This goes back this goes back, had to be 7-8 years ago, whenever this came to my mind of what this was about. So we're talking about the slaughter of the innocents, a topic which I've discussed many times. Several times. Not the first time I've talked about this on air. I've talked about it. I've probably dedicated shows to it before. But in case you don't know this, the slaughter of the innocent. When I first read Revelation 14, and I was reading about the 144,000, I remember thinking, it just hit me there. You know, everything on my heart, Holy Spirit, tell me it was children. That 144,000 were children. And then, of course, I've always went back to it being abortion. I've always thought in this day and age, I mean, what if that is, you know, you learn, man, when I was on my own studying, you know, you learn through the Bible, once you just pick it up from the beginning in Genesis and read it to the end, you realize the same story happening over and over again. There truly is nothing new under the sun. Everything that has been is that which will be. Quoting the book of Ecclesiastes right there. So go read the first and third chapter of Ecclesiastes. That's where I quoted that from. But, I learned that reading. It is the same repetition you know, the same circumstances happen in a different time with different people, but it's really the same story. And that's what I saw in Revelation 14. I thought they were children. And I went back and I was like, well, whatever happened with children were mass amounts of children were all of a sudden taken to Mount Zion, knowing that the book of Psalms says that Mount Zion is heaven. Why all of a sudden they're, you know, to go be with the Lord? Why all of a sudden are all these children end up in heaven in Revelation 14? You know, thousands and thousands of children. And I wondered what it was about. And it hit me then. It was, you know, what if it was abortion? Now, abortion being something I've never shared publicly, this goes more my personal life. It's me personally because almost every woman I know has had an abortion. I mean, I swear, it'd be amazing, you know, how many women I know in my own family. I don't know, you know, like, not maybe my friends or whatever, but in my own family. Especially this would stick those of you, the few of you who listen that actually, you know, really know me, you know, outside of this show, you know, the few people who listen who have known me, you know, before I ever did the show. Know me years and years, and we talk about, you know, I always talk about life and stuff like that. And you would know if I ever tell you a story to my family, there's some screwed up people in my family. And the sad thing is, in all those situations, there's an abortion there. I don't, you know, I always said, I'd give you one hit with my mom. My mother had an abortion, supposedly. I don't know if it's true. She'll never admit to it, but that's what I've heard. But, I mean, I can tell you right now, it's even hearing her tell stories about it, not about her own. She never been to her own. She'll tell me about, we had a conversation once about other people's, and she said it seriously affects your psyche. I mean, it does. It really has a huge effect on you, and people don't get it. So looking at this is something that, I guess, you know, having had all those experiences growing up, being around, you know, my mother, aunts, stuff like that, who'd all had abortions and who all literally have emotionally and mentally suffered for it their entire life, whether it be just consequences of decision. You know, you make your own opinion what it is. I don't know. I'm not saying what it is, but, you know, it could be consequences of decision. Some people may believe there's a spirit associated with it. Because, you know, God did say you do not sacrifice your children. And in some people's eyes, that is a sacrifice of children. In some people's eyes, it's not. You know, a lot of it, obviously in this day and age, it's hard to say, you know, it's very opinionated. You know, it's a very strange time we live in where you can abort a child legally. It's perfectly legally right in this country to abort a child because it's just a collection of cells. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yet at the same time, a drunk driver can go out and lose control of his car and hit a pregnant woman and kill her, and obviously the child die also, you know, that she's pregnant with in the womb, and the drunk driver can get charged with two murders or two homicides. He won't get charged with murder. He could charge two homicides. A murderer could get charged with two murders for killing a pregnant woman. Yet, on the other hand, abortion is not. It's really, it's a strange thing. I don't mean to draw political lines here. It's not what this is about. We're going to go biblical here. But, you know, keep those things in mind when I think about this. And I don't want to paint anybody into a theological corner here. That is the most dangerous thing you can ever do, I believe, especially when you get into prophecy and stuff like this, even theology. Don't paint yourself in the corner. You know, be open-minded. If you hear somebody with an opinion that's going to be biblically based, which I'm going to throw you some scriptures, you know, entertain it. Think about it. You know, pray on it. Talk to the Lord about it. And read His Word. This is His Word to you. It's the most best way to communicate with the Lord is by reading His Word. And, you know, read it, study it, look at the verses I put out there, and form your own opinion, because nobody's right. You know, the Pharisees back in the time of Christ, they knew the Bible better than anybody except for Jesus himself. And Jesus the only one knew the Word better than they did. They had studied the Bible for their entire life. They were raised in a what we would consider today the church. They were born in it. They were bred in it. They were trained just for that purpose. And yet there stood the Lord Jesus Christ right in front of them in their presence. Emmanuel, just like Isaiah promised, and the Pharisees couldn't see it. They were so full of knowledge that they couldn't even see the Lord was standing there, right? And they actually ordered him put to his death. Most of them, not all of them did, you know, a few did not, but for the most part, they were in course, you know, that he was a blasphemer. He blasphemed the name of God, you know, and that he, by claiming to be God. So, I mean, you know, don't worry about sitting there trying to, you know, figure everything out and think, you know, no one man out there has everything figured out. So entertain all men's ideas. You know, some man sits down and puts all this time, like the Pharisees, you know, listen to their opinion. You know, we have people today who are out there. I'm probably considered a Pharisee in some of his eyes because I'm here and I read the Bible. And I just, you know, blah, 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 blap my opinions all over the air for everybody to hear. So, you know, take it with the same grain of salt. Listen to my opinion, but don't hold it. Don't hold it down as fact. I'm just sharing my opinion with you. But looking at Revelation 14:4, something I'm not going to go deep into this because all these scriptures I've actually shared in other shows. We're just going to brush the surface on these. But we're going to read the first four verses here. And it's ironic that the one verse in question here is Revelation 14:4. Let's read this. Revelation 14:1. Then I looked and behold a Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like a voice of many waters, and the voice of a loud thunder. And I heard the sound of the harpists playing their harps. They sang, as it were, a song before the throne, before the living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. So these children here have been redeemed from the earth in verse 3. And they're the only one that can learn the song. It's almost as though they're in a different key or a different pitch than everything else, because there's something different. This is interesting what's happened here. Verse 4. These are the ones who were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Think about this, not defiled with women. They're virgins. First chance lead here, yeah, these aren't people who practice celibacy their entire life. Let's keep reading on this and you'll see it. For they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Now remember, at this point in time, the Lamb's still in heaven. They're following him there. These were redeemed among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb. So the first fruits to God and the Lamb. Remember, the first fruits goes back into the time of Exodus. You remember with the 10 plagues, and God said, I will command the first fruits to be mine. He said, even the firstborn son of every woman. That's what these are. These are the firstborn sons of every woman. Remember, not every woman, of women. In their mouth was found no deceit or no lies, depending on how you read it. For they are without fault before the throne of God. Now think about this. They have never said a lie. I mean, guys, if any of you ever caught a kid in the cookie jar, you know they've told lies as children. So this leads you to believe they're before the age of 2, the point where children begin to speak. This is one of the really big hints that leads to you. These were children, very young children taken. They were innocent. And where do we draw the comparison of the innocence from Revelation 14:4? You know, well, obviously, taking that consideration, you know, obviously we look back at the birth of Christ. I've mentioned this before in many episodes, no sense going back to reading it again, but Herod ordered the slaughter of all the children born at that time. The Catholic encyclopedia states that it was possibly 144,000 children killed at that time. A little high for how many people lived in Jerusalem, in my opinion, but, I mean, quite possible. I've done the math before of how many children were born. It was complicated. I have a spreadsheet somewhere, and I really just now thought of it, so I'm not going to have time to look for it. But I have a spreadsheet somewhere I made where I sat down and I figured out how many children could be born to the people. You know, you take the number of the 600,000 men who came out of Israel, bring that number up to 2 million when you count for there's a man and there's a child for each person and there's a wife for each person, and you sit there and break the math down. How many are in this age group? How many are this age group? How many are this age group? And I figured out how many had to be born a year, like 144,000. Just one of them things I did when I was free for a day. It took me a while because, you know, I had to use basic math, and I didn't really sit there and have some big algorithm I used. I had a piece of paper, and I started writing numbers down. Really how I did it. And it had a simple, you know, thing, nothing like that. I just sat down. I read the Word of God, this Bible right here, and I believed it to be the Word of God. So I knew it was true. And what I was reading, and I was reading an English translation here called a New King James Version. Not very picky on what you read, you know, translation-wise. Most thing I could tell you is, you know, read a translation if you can, but, you know, I mean, I like King James. I think it's one of the better translations out there, but, you know, read a translation you understand. That's the best thing you'll ever do is understand what you read. More importantly than what translation you read, read a translation you can understand. Leo was up. Reading that, I believed it, and that's where I came to that study. So if you ever want to read that, Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 is where that's at. And I encourage you to go back and read it sometime, but we're going to read it. At least read one verse here. We won't read the whole story in context because it would take too long, but let's read this one verse. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. He sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then it was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, now we're going to go back here and quote where Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 31, verse 15. A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping and great mourning. Rachel, no more. So that's what happens there, obviously, in the birth, the infancy of Christ. It was the same thing. And that same story, that's the one that first stuck out to me, and I made the connection in Revelation 14 there. Later on, also, those of you who have been friends with me, coming with groups, as we came to study and I understood this stuff, I came to other people who had opinions, which are just, as biblically, possible as mine, where, they believe, obviously, there's 144,000, basically, they believe the same thing I believe, not through abortion. They believe God will literally grab them out of the womb. And it will not be that man physically has an abortion, but that God will take the children from the womb as his firstborn. That is one, that's a belief out there, and it's possible. There's a lot of scripture to back it up. I know I'm not 100% really stand one way or the other on it, but as I've said before, I'll entertain many ideas. Children being taken from the womb, that goes back to, I'm going to do this from memory here, Isaiah 26:18, I believe is a verse where it says, women are crying out that they have given birth to the wind, that they were pregnant and now they're not. And they went to the game where they were pregnant and they went to deliver children and wind came out. There was nothing there. Wind, of course, being in Hebrew, Ruach, the Holy Spirit, or not the Holy Spirit, but Spirit. Literally, they gave birth to nothing, is what they're saying kind of there. Not they gave birth to the Spirit, but that they were pregnant, and it was the child was gone from their womb. Who but God could do that, or, possibly through an abortion, the only other way around that. But, of course, now, if you read it in context, the context you're using Isaiah 26, they're saying not that something happened to the child, that they literally went to give birth, and it was gone. Like, where'd it go? They carried a baby to term in their womb. So that's what Isaiah 26 is talking about. And that's where this theory comes from that others believe. But this time I want to focus more on the abortion side. Again, just a possibility. But about 2 weeks ago, here we are now, it's July 31st, 2015. About 2 weeks ago, in the middle of July, I think I posted a story on Facebook today. It was the 15th, I believe, is where the story came from. But let's see if I can find it here. Well, I have to open up another window here. So anyways, I believe it was the 14th or 15th of July, a video was released. And it uncovered some really shocking things going on in our government. Planned Parenthood, which is a government-funded group who, they do a lot of, they do things besides this, but their big thing is they do abortion. That's their big deal they do. They're really big for abortion. That's their main focus. They also do things like they're to, I don't want to quote them here, but I believe this is the same group that hands out condoms to kids in high school and stuff like that, teaches safe sex, all that kind of stuff. I believe this all tied into the same group. But I can't quote me on that one. I think that's what they are. But because if you've read the stories, you're one of these people. I can't even read the whole stories that talk about it because it's disturbing. And the sad thing is, we all knew it was happening, but it's disturbing. At the same time, when you actually have to read what they're doing. But in the middle of July of this year, 2015, a story was released, and if I'm not mistaken, it was actually from last year. This video was recorded on somebody's iPhone or something like that. They're at a dinner table. Yeah, here we go. These comments were from July 25th, 2014. So this is actually a year old whenever we found out about it. So, today, a year ago, we just learned what happened was that they're at a dinner, and there's just these people, businesswomen, men and women are sitting down there having a conversation. I remember the one woman in particular. I can't remember. There's other people there as well. But they're having a conversation, and they're discussing selling product. They're discussing product. It's a normal business sale. You or me would discuss the sale of a car or a sale of property or a sale of a house or something like that, They're negotiating prices and talking about how much product they can have. You picture a farmer would go and discuss something or something like that. But what are they talking about? Well, apparently, there's a black market out there. And, brace yourselves if you don't, people around you have sense of ears of what I'm going to say. You're probably already put two and two together. But from Planned Parenthood, when these people are having abortions, they don't, I guess you would say, dispose of the fetus or, throw the body in the trash, something like that. No, they actually sell the baby parts. They chop the baby up into little parts, and they sell the baby parts. There's a black market for the parts of aborted children. Now, you may not be aware of this unless you've ever had a child, especially if you're a woman, you probably understand this, but if you've never had a child before, you may not understand how young in the womb that is actually a child. It amazed me when my first one was born. From what I learned in science and remember watching in school, the cells divide and they become this, and they had the thing called the fetus, which has a head and a little tail coming out. I mean, all that stuff I saw, and I thought happened through the whole pregnancy, that's just all over with in the first couple of weeks. Literally, you get a few weeks into the pregnancy, and you have something with hands and arms and eyes and a brain and lungs and a spine and a nervous system. It's amazing, you know, how developed they are at a month, at 2 months, even 3 months old. You know, at the ages where they're getting aborted, because usually it's a few weeks before you even know you're pregnant. And you spend the next few weeks weighing out in your mind, oh, my God, you know, what am I going to do? And, you know, maybe a month later you decide to have an abortion. And, well, all these are actually, they've already developed organs. You know, they're already developed, and they're already born. They look like a little bitty human, you know, palm of your hand. And, you know, these people doing the abortions, they're selling the baby parts on a black market. It's horrific what they're doing. It's just troubling. Like I say, it's been on my mind ever since I first heard it 2 or 3 weeks ago. To the point that I say I'm out there pushing a lawnmower around the yard, you know, dreading the fact that it's like 100 degrees out here and sweating like crazy because for some reason I decided to do it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, what's on my mind is not how miserably hot it is. What's on my mind is these poor little children, you know, and the fact that our government is financing this. So just became broke out. These people are discussing selling of baby parts. They're negotiating prices for, you know, organs or whatever. I don't know what part they were negotiating. I just don't remember. I don't know if they said it and I barred it from my memory or what, but I don't remember. And I go back, I keep trying to read this story. I posted the Blaze story. Oh, let's see. It is 2:20 a.m., July 31st, 7:15. So I go back and look through. I posted the story maybe an hour or two ago. But it's from the Blaze, and they do some quotes. It's hard to read. But you can go back and try to read it for yourself if you want to read what's going on. But they're discussing this stuff like they're selling crops. But to them, they are. And it goes back into, you know, God said, let me go back and look up here. You know, it's all through God's word, you know, about sacrificing your children. You know, you don't sacrifice your children. I know it's in Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, Deuteronomy 12. Let's see. Leviticus 18, 21, Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 12, 30, Deuteronomy 18, 10. God absolutely forbids human sacrifice. Let's just flip over to one of them. Let's go to Leviticus was written to the Levites, to the priests, and to that generation that died in the wilderness. Deuteronomy was to those who went to inherit the promised land. Let's go to Deuteronomy. In case you don't ever know that, guys, you know, study the books of the Bible. It's helpful to know who the books were written to. So I'm going to that book because I think that book would have more relevance to us because we're the people who are, you know, getting ready to enter the promised land, right? I mean, amen. When the Lord comes and he takes us to be his bride, we're going to enter the promised land. Or, you know, if we die, obviously we know, of course, the dead in Christ are first. So if we die, then we're the first ones to go, obviously, into the promised land. But let's go back here. I'm rambling on here as I turn to Deuteronomy. I'm the weirdo that still uses paper because I just can't work technology all that good. Take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. So don't do this. Verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord, which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. And God had a very clear law, you shall not offer your children up to Molech. You know, you shall not offer them up to Baal. You know, all these things, in my opinion, these spirits, these entities, you know, they're all real. Everybody, you know, they call them different names, different cultures, but it's all real. They're all praying the same thing. They're all playing to the fallen angels who are masquerading around trying to be gods, you know, chief of them probably being Satan himself. And if you studied my devil study, you go back to, you know, the beast who's in the abyss, you know, the counterpart to Satan, the one who people I don't think realize that he's just as big and bad as Satan is. You know, they're literally, in my opinion, But God doesn't give us a lot of detail about the enemy because, you know, it's not about the enemy. It's about salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ. But, you know, we do find out that through my study, I found a lot of connection there, and I believe that Azazel, that beast who's in the abyss, is the counterpart to Satan. And a lot of these things, you know, Baal and stuff like that, I believe are actually Azazel, and that's his spirit that's down, that's there, you know, and he's the one that's down below and, you know, all that stuff. So, and Satan's the dragon who's going to be cast out of heaven, Revelation 12. He's going to stand on the shores of the sea, and he's going to open the abyss because he's the angel with the key who's going to get kicked out of heaven. And when he opens the abyss, the other one who was just like him, who is the angel who was locked in the abyss at the flood of Noah, you know, he's going to come up, and he's just as big and bad as the devil is. And they're counterparts. You know, the devil is going to hand him, you know, we read all the stuff, the stories, the end of Revelation. The devil hands the beast from the abyss his authority, his throne. You know, you learn in Revelation 17 that the beast actually came out of the abyss, Tartarus, as it's called. You know, the bottomless, deepest parts of Sheol. You know, not just, you know, beyond death, beyond hell. I mean, this is a place beyond all that. You know, the place reserved only for the angels who sinned in the original time. Go back quoting from Peter there about the angels from the foreign time who, you know, gave up their former state and all that stuff like that. Read about it in Jude. Read about it in Peter. Most of you guys listening to me are well aware of this stuff. I'm preaching to the choir here. So that's what these things are. You know, you're not supposed to do that. Well, what are we doing? You know, I mean, all the cultures in the past who offered their children, you know, we go back to, you know, the Mayans, of course, the Incas offered their children, you know, the Aztecs offered their children, the Phoenicians offered their children, Arabia and, you know, times of pre-Islamic, they offered their children. I was reading off Wikipedia. South Africa, Uganda, I mean, all these people offered up their children and sacrificed them. It's crazy, you know, what happened there, but that's it. You know, the voodoo people, you know, they offer up their children as sacrifice. You know, what is this? The demonic realm, the spiritual realm, blood is powerful. I mean, remember when Cain slew Abel. God said the blood of Abel was crying from the ground. God can hear his blood crying. If God can hear his blood crying, these people in ancient times, and even in modern times, you know, they're offering up children and they're spilling their blood on the ground. Maybe the demonic, maybe the angelic realm, they can hear it too. We know from the Bible that a third of the angels are bad. You know, look at Revelation 6. What other verses in there? Revelation 12, you know. Dragon swings a third of the angels out of heaven, a third of the stars out of heaven. Same thing. Stars and angels are the same thing. You know, the stars you're reading about there in Revelation are symbolic for angels. The devil knocks a third of them out of heaven. A third of them follow him. The same repetition we get from the days of the flood where 200 angels left heaven. We know the number 200 from not biblical sources, so, you know, that may not be biblical. But, you know, if you ever read Book of Enoch, Book of Jasher, stuff like that, you know, interesting stories, you know, it may or may not be true. I can tell you I've read them. They're not important. I'm going to tell you, Enoch's not important. You know, Judges not important. And the reason why it's not important is nowhere in their stories do they ever talk to you about repentance. Nowhere in there they ever talk to you about, you know, salvation. Nowhere in there is that the plan. Every other scripture, every other Old Testament book points you to salvation in Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Salvation in Jesus Christ. I want to get that word out correctly. I'm going to choke up on that one. But those other books, they're interesting. They're good stories, but they don't point you to salvation in Jesus Christ. Don't get lost up in those other books. Stay in reference. Stay grounded. So hopefully, you know, I haven't done a show in a while. I'm assuming I'm about to go to archive because I'm getting blared out 60 seconds in my ear now from Blog Talk Radio. Assuming I go into archive, I've got 15 minutes left. So I'm going to ramble on a little bit longer here. If I don't go to archive, well, catch you later. So also, compare this now to the birth of Joash. Before we go to Joash, which is Moses. Exodus 1:22, Pharaoh ordered all male children killed, just like was ordered at the birth of Christ. Guys, I've done previous shows on this. Go look it up. Back in my previous shows, I don't remember which one it was, but you can go back and look it up. Where I compared the birth of Moses and the story of Christ, it's the same story again. You know, all male children are under the age of two. You know they're under the age of two because we know that Aaron was 3 years older than Moses, and Aaron did not have to get killed. So obviously, if Moses was born and he was a couple months old, Aaron was three, the age on it must have been two, just like it was at the time of Christ. So, you know, you got to put two and two together in reading the Bible. Sometimes you got to sit down, get a pen and paper out, and write the details down like you're solving a mystery. And go, wait a minute, you know, it says this over here, and it says this over here, and you put the two together and you realize something. So, you know, like I say, it never says in there that Moses, you know, that I'm sorry, that Pharaoh ordered the slaughter of all children under the age of two. I just put two and two together because I read the Bible and I believe the Bible. And so I actually wrote the facts down and I tried to see, you know, what was it saying without actually saying it. The same kind of thing I did, by the way, with the two doubles stuff. You know, the story where I came out and I won, you know, probably the craziest thing I've ever said on air. Before I come on, I just said, hey, you know, you think it's bad when Revelation talks about all the things the devil's going to do? You know, my point of that story was it's really going to be bad because I think I've just realized there's actually a second, I don't want to say devil, but there's a second one. There's a counterpart just as big, bad, and ugly and nasty as he is. You know, he's the beast from the abyss. You know, and that's the physical beast from the abyss. Of course, there is a spiritual entity that, you know, the horns that come up, that are up in the world today, that rule the nations, you know, the spirit behind it. Everybody else talks about it. You know, the spirits behind the nations out there today, that they all think that's just the beast. I believe that is only the tip of the horns of the beast. We know the 10 horns later in Revelation are described as kings who ruled in the world for him. So obviously his spirit, even from the abyss, his spirit reaches out and drives the heart of the king. So, you know, put those two together. You know, there is, yes, what everybody's telling you about the 10 kings and, you know, I don't want to say to revive Roman Empire, but everybody talks about 10 kings. There are, you know, some of the conspiracy theories. What do these people call? I forget what they say now. I'm not up on my conspiracy theories. Give me a second here. God, a lot of my friends are into this stuff too, and I can never keep it right in my head. New World Order, that's what I'm thinking of. The New World Order thing where all these, you know, all these presidents and rulers, you know, are all being driven by the spirit. I'm not taking away from that. I still believe all that. Don't get me wrong. I'm back on that. It's definitely, you know, well, obviously we know it's true. Whether or not the New World Order part of it is true, that's, you know, conspiracy theories, but maybe it is, maybe it's not. You know, maybe the, I don't know, pick the people who are out there, the Rockefellers are the big known ones. What's the people that had the big house they used to make the Batman movies? I forget the name of it now. But, the Rothschild, that's what I'm thinking of. You know, the Rockefellers, the Rothschild, you know, all these really, really super rich people who were their family's wealth. They're so wealthy that they're, you know, they can even go out there and the Verizon commercial. They can just be stupid. They're so wealthy with money. They can't possibly spend it all. Because, you know, once you reach a certain amount of money, you know, imagine you had just trillions of dollars and you put it in some index fund in a stock market, you know, like an S&P index fund or something, and you're making 10% interest. And if you got trillions of dollars and you're gaining 10% interest a year, you're gaining billions of dollars in interest. How in the world are you going to spend billions of dollars? You can't even, what in the world are you going to buy, you know? So, I mean, you just look at that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, the same thing if you got billions, you're interested in a million. You know, if you got millions, you're interested in hundreds of thousands. If you got hundreds of thousands, you're interested in 10,000. That's the way this stock market type stuff works, you know. But imagine that. That's just, you know, these people who are that crazy rich, you know, these top rich people of the world, many people believe that they're, you know, behind this big world conspiracy thing. So, you know, whether they are or not, I'm rambling off course again. But I don't want to take away from any of my brothers out there who believe this stuff. I know a lot of people are into that. I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying through all this stuff, there's more to this stuff. There's so many layers to the Word of God. You just dig deeper and deeper and deeper, and you find out it's more and more true than even you thought it was. So I guess really what I'm saying here is, you know, it's possible with these things. And I'm back on the beast story. I'm not even talking about the abortion thing right now. But I ain't gotten off on the beast from the abyss. It is absolutely possible that I'm right on everything I said with two devils and the beast from the abyss, and that they're right, being the conspiracy theory people out there, and that the church is right, and that's all our values. It's possible we are all correct. Because remember, there is this actual beast. These beasts have seven heads, which I believe are the heads of the seven nations laid out. Oh, God, I laid it out one time. Ezekiel 33, I believe, where I laid out the seven heads there. And at the same time, he has 10 horns, which are also in rule today as kingdoms of earth. As kings of earth, I'm sorry, and the seven heads were kingdoms of earth, the kingdoms which overran Israel. You know, it's interesting. And I've went different ways with some of the stuff, but I think it's all true. You know, and that we all have such a small piece of the pie when it comes to our understanding that we end up fighting each other when in the end we're all right. We just don't see it. So getting back to that, the same mindset, I guess, going there is that, you know, consider the same things here with this, you know, 144,000. You know, the teaching I've always heard of 144,000 is that they're all Jews, and that they're grown men, and they're going to stand at the Temple Mount. You know, well, Revelation 11 comes up, clearly tells you that, you know, the Temple Mount area is called Sodom and Egypt. You know, it's going to be overrun by the beast. When he comes out of the abyss, that's his kingdom. He's going to take Jerusalem. He's going to make it his. And he will stand at the highest place claiming to be God. So, you know, it's not like there's going to be some third temple there and he's 144,000 are going to be standing in the third temple and, you know, the beast is going to be, I don't know, standing outside of it or something. I mean, it's, that's the way people have portrayed it that I've always heard. That's what I pictured in my head when people told me. But when I read the Bible, that's not what I read, you know. So, yeah, go back and, you know, again, go back and check this stuff out for yourself. It's interesting. Form your own opinions. And look what God's word actually says, not what you think it says. Look at what it actually says. You know, so read Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. Study that. And we'll go to the birth of Joash before we run out of time here. 2 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. And this is a tricky one, guys. Again, you got to put two and two together here on this. Joash was a little child. We know this because he had to hide. Well, let's go to the story here. Athaliah became the queen of Judah. We'll get into her, to who she is in a minute. When she became queen of Judah, she wanted to execute anyone who could challenge her throne. She ordered the execution of every male child who was an heir to her throne. All of them were killed except for one, Joash. Joash, of course, was hid for 6 years, and when he was 7 years old, he became king. You read all this, 2 Kings 11, 2 Kings 12, you put all stuff together. So Athaliah ends up reigning 7 years or 8 years. I can't remember exactly now off the top of my head which one it was. But either way, you read there, Joash was about a year old, maybe a year and a half, somewhere in that time frame. Hid for 6 years, and he was 7 years old when he became king. Put two and two together, Joash was the exact same age as Moses and Jesus. It's the same story. He's around the age of one or two. You know, it's just like Jesus and just like Moses were when all this stuff happened, and every male child was killed. Now, the crazy thing with this one, Athaliah, how did a queen become the king of Egypt, of Judah? She was the king of Judah. Queen, as she was a queen, you know, reigning as a king of Judah. I'm getting confusing here. If you ever read the king list of all the kings of Judah and all the kings of Israel, there was one queen, Athaliah. The crazy thing about her is she was not a Jew, or a Jew. Now, a Jew being of the tribe of Judah. I know later, and especially today in modern times, we consider any Israeli a Jew. And I believe that shows up after Babylonian captivity. When all the people came out of Babylonian captivity, basically they were all called Jews at that point. Because at that point, the northern kingdom of Israel was gone. The few people from the northern kingdom had moved down to Judah and just, you know, incorporated into that society. And when Babylon took them, they were all considered Jews. So, taking that in mind there, you know, Athaliah was of the tribe of, I forget what tribe she was. She Athaliah was the son of Ahab and Jezebel, the daughter, excuse me, of Ahab and Jezebel. Now, think about that. They were Israelites. I've done this whole deal with this chart where it charts out. I wrote it down. But you have to go all the way back to, go back and read it to you real quick. 8:26, Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king. He reigned 1 year. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. Omri, the king of Israel, was the father of Ahab. Ahab married Jezebel. You all know the story of Jezebel, most popular woman probably in the Bible, I guess, besides Mary, is Jezebel. Well, Jezebel's daughter was Athaliah. So she ends up becoming the queen because her son, Ahaziah, was killed. And it's just a tricky story to follow here. Read 2 Kings 8, 2 Kings 9. Put to an especially, and write down the kings. Just sit there and write down the kings, who they are. Write down who their mother is. And put this stuff two and two together, and you'll realize that the bloodlines crossed right around this time frame, and things went chaotic. This is a time after the death of Elijah that died. Elisha now was in charge, going through the land. I mean, it was crazy. If you ever read Kings, kings jump all over the place in this time. It's kind of like the hills topsy-turvy. Time goes crazy right here. Because the book of Kings is like, jumps forward, it jumps backward, it jumps forward in time, jumps backward in time. Because it overlaps the story, and then the next chapter goes back 20 years earlier and gives you more detail of the story. So the next chapter goes 20 years back to where it was earlier, and it gets tricky to follow if you're not familiar that it does that. But basically, Joash was saved. Athaliah was killed. Remember her crying out, treason, treason, as they were killing her in 2 Kings 11 or 12. And then in 12:1, In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abiah of Beersheba. And this, of course, was 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 1, where he finally becomes king. And, well, what happens here? I want you to catch this, pick this up here. Athaliah, the daughter of Jezebel. Why is that important? Because we go to the death of John the Baptist, and you realize the exact same thing came to be there. So let's go to Mark chapter 6, where John the Baptist is killed, and you'll remember that, well, I'm not going to be able to have time to read it. I'm running out of time here. Herod, it was his birthday. So the little girl, I forget her name now, I'm looking to see if I glance over it while I'm reading here, she came in to dance for Herod, and she danced, and then Herod was enticed. I'm assuming it was a provocative type of dance. I don't think she was, you know, I don't think she was hopscotching or, you know, something like that, or doing a line dance or something, but, you know, and Herod was happy, and Herod said, you know what, whatever you want, you know, I'll give you whatever you want, ask anything you want. She goes, anything? She goes, Herod goes, yes, anything, I'll give you up to half my kingdom. Again, why I believe it was sexually there, because half my kingdom would be something you get from marriage. So obviously I believe it was, you know, something sexual there that she provoked him. So he was like, I'll give you anything you want, you know, but just, anyways, we don't need to go there. So she gets anything. So what does she do? She turns to her mother. And her mother, remember the one who John the Baptist had said, you should not have her for a wife. Now, this is not Herod the Great. This was Herod, the four heads of the kingdom at that point. I can't remember which one this was. But John the Baptist said, got on him because he married his brother's wife. You know, well, now here he is, his brother's wife. This would be his niece that's dancing in front of him. And he's now married to his brother's wife, which is the girl's mother. Now he wants to marry this girl. I mean, this dude was all in this stuff, right? Well, what does she do? She goes to her mother. What would you want? She goes, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Now, this Herod didn't like it. He liked John the Baptist. He didn't want to do it, but he made a promise. He had to live up to his word. Why is that important? Well, what you got here? A mother and a daughter. Just like you have with Jezebel and Athaliah, a mother and a daughter. But what do you have in Revelation 17 and Revelation 18? It goes back to the origin show, which I never did. Oh, I never did do that show. I just remembered it. Revelation 17, Revelation 18, the daughter of harlots and the mother of harlots. You see the same connection there. I mean, so at the exact same time frame as the 144,000, we have a mother of harlots and a daughter of harlots. The mother of harlots being connected to that beast which is in the abyss, which I believe is a spirit that will be released upon the earth, which is already active in the earth now. But just like the beast, where it's active in spirit, it's not physically here. I believe that spirit will physically be here. Or maybe it is just spirit. I'm not really sure. But Revelation 18 talks about how they even hunt human souls. Remember that verse? 18:13. And cinnamon, incense. It goes back to the merchants who weep over the destruction of Babylon. For they sold in cinnamon, incense, fragrance, oil, frankincense, wine, oil, flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, bodies, and souls of men. Revelation 18:13. This is future. This is what's going to happen if the Lord comes in our time and great tribulation happens in our lifetime. You know, if it happens now, you know, I believe it will, but maybe it won't, but I do believe it will. But if it happens in our lifetime, that means people are trading for souls of men right now and bodies of men. What are we talking about here? We'll go back to Planned Parenthood. Now Congress is going to be getting together sometime soon. I heard it today. It's actually old news. I just now heard it today. Because you guys know me, I'm not up with my news. I'm not plugged into technology. So I didn't know it until recently. But Rand Paul proposed something in Congress to have Planned Parenthood defunded. Now, they may have already done it. I don't know. But I just now heard about it. So that's, you know, how up on times I am. But, you know, so there you go. I mean, you know, put two and two together, guys. Read these stories. You know, the mother and daughters goes back to the two she-bears that mauled the 42 youths. Remember that story? After Elijah was ascended to heaven, and Elisha came back, and, you know, compare the 42 with the 42 months of Revelation, the two bears, you know, the mother and daughter bear, she-bears. I said they were she-bears. It pointed out she-bears for a reason right there. This is going to be 2 Kings chapter 2. I believe it's the last verse of chapter 2. I just closed my Bible, so I'm not going to read it, because I was getting ready to close the show, and this just came to my memory. But read that. The 42 youths, they were children. What happens for 42 months? You know, I mean, you put all the stuff together in Revelation, guys. It's the same story, the same details over and over again. Perhaps abortion, perhaps Planned Parenthood plays a part in it. Maybe they don't. But either way, in our time, it's just as wicked as it is what they're doing. They're, you know, I'm not, I'm not trying to get political here and fix the abortion thing. I have what I believe, and I believe it firmly because I have seen it ruin people's lives. But believe what you believe. But consider all things, guys. And thank you. More shows will be coming soon. I got a lot to talk about. So I guess if I'm going to cut me off, it looks like the thing is going to cut me off now. I guess this is the end of the show. So thank you, guys. And God bless you, guys. Remember, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Pray in Him. Believe in Him. That's what it's all about. So it has never said goodbye yet. Usually it says goodbye when it ends the show. All right. So that's it. I guess I'm going to sit here and talk until it says goodbye because I haven't done this in a few months. I want to see how it works. It says I've been on the air 46 minutes, which is a minute too long. I had some music. I played music.